Anybody else that's visiting this morning, we're happy to have you and glad to have the regulars too. I'm trying to remember how that was. I heard somebody say one time visitors are welcomed and members are expected. I think that's how that I've heard that worded before, but it sure is good to see you this morning, and just so thankful to be here, excited and thankful for what I feel in my heart, the good singing, the good lesson this morning. As I was listening to Brother Mike, I found that it lines up pretty well with the message this morning, and I like it when the Lord does that. He kind of gives that theme sometimes for the day, and I always enjoy that. If you will, let's be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I hope you've had time to get out and enjoy some of this weather. I was outside a lot yesterday. A good portion of the day yesterday morning, got to see a lot of the landscape and take some photographs, and it's just a beautiful time to be out. I think next weekend is supposed to be the peak week, I guess you'd say, or peak day, so get out and enjoy that and take it in. Only God can do that. Just like Brother Tim said, it's a beautiful landscape that we have. Me and Brandy's talked about it many times. We love to visit the beach and different places, and we just like it here so much because you get all four seasons. You get to see a little bit of everything. And sometimes in the same day. We joke around about that around here too. But I'm excited about the message this morning. You know, it is Pastor Appreciation Month. And, you know, you can't go that month and not say something about preaching, I guess. And sometimes the Lord gives you a message for the church. And I think sometimes He gives you a message for yourself. I've noticed that sometimes when you read it, I read different things, like I can really take it in and maybe absorb it and it be something good for me. But this morning, I think it would be good for all of us. A reminder of why we do what we do. You know, life can beat you down and be kind of hard sometimes. The devil would love to push you back and say, hey, listen, nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention to you. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. You're not making a difference. You know, different things, you know. The devil can do things like that to you, and then sometimes you might even ask yourself or find yourself asking yourself, why am I even trying? Why am I even doing? Why am I doing this? You know, Jeremiah went through a phase, and he said he wasn't going to speak his name anymore, and he said, I can't help but speak his name. The Lord wouldn't let him give it away. And even Paul here, you see different things here. It's a burden that was laid upon him. The Lord called him to do it, and he reminded him, and this is the why. Sometimes we don't need to know the why, but if you do know the why and understand it, I think sometimes it changes our approach to things. Why do we do this? If you've ever been in work long and you're training somebody to do something, there's some that ask the question, why? 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 And you just say, don't ask why, just do it. But you know, some people need to know the why. And I thank the Lord that in His Word, He gives us the why. He tells us why. And this morning, for a few minutes, I just want to preach on the topic of life goals. Life goals. Anybody here have any goals? Maybe short-term goals. Long-term goals. Have any of your goals changed throughout your life? I've noticed that. Sometimes my goals get rearranged. You know, the older I get, when I look back on life, a lot of times I find myself saying, I wish I would have started this sooner. I wish maybe I would have focused on this more and stayed true to it and not giving it up. I remember a time I was lifting weights and really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun. And you lift weights and you see results, you see progress. And as it goes up, you get more excited and think, man, this is great. And then, you know, maybe in your mind you get to a point of thinking, well, how far can I go? What is my full capability? What would be the most I could do? And, you know, you can chase those things down. But also, I'm reminded too, and I thought this is interesting, you could use this maybe as the, I'll say this in jest, as the lazy man's verse here, 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. I've heard people say that a lot of times, like, well, I'm just kind of tired today. You know, we don't have to focus on that all at once, you know. And goals. People have goals, little goals, big goals. I was thinking about this. Brandy used to teach Sunday school. And she was teaching one morning, and you know how it is, grandma, mom and dad, what have you, put a little money in their Bible to give in Sunday school. And this little girl, Brandy, looked over and saw, and it was time in Sunday school class to pass the plate. Brandy saw, I think she had a little dollar in her Bible. She asked her, she said, hey, we're taking up for the offering for Sunday school. You ready to put your money in? And everybody put their money in. And the little girl, she didn't give up her dollar. She kept it. And Brady's like, are you not going to give your dollar? She said, no, I'm saving up for a trampoline. that was her goal. That was her goal. And with Grandma and Brenda and Uncle Larry, Uncle Bud sitting back there, I'll say this. I remember a time that we were going to church with them and got home from church, and they asked me about what happened to the money they gave me to put in the plate. They said, well, honey, what did you do with your money? I said, well, I wasted some of it. I put it in the plate. And they never let me live that down. I had different goals, I guess, you know. We have goals in life, big goals, little goals. And it's fun that when you see results from what you've started to put in place, is it not? When you have a plan and you start working that plan out and you see even little results, you think it is going to be worth it. But if you hit a roadblock and it seems like your results have stopped, that's when it gets hard. That's when it gets really hard. When you see like your gains or your growths have stopped, or sometimes it's weight loss, sometimes it's strength, sometimes it's speed. But what I've noticed a lot of times when you have goals, it will go for a while, then all of a sudden it's like you hit this roadblock. And that's when you really find out what you're made of. That's what you really find out if that prize, if that goal that you have is really worth it. When you start laying it aside, you start saving up those dollars every Sunday and not putting them in the plate, and you see something else at Walmart versus that trampoline. How bad do you want that trampoline? You'll find out if you wait for it or not. You'll find out. And see, Paul, what he is talking about here, he's talking about the eternal prize. See, that's something that you and I will never see in this life. That's hard. That's the results we will not see physically in this life, period. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Well, how do we know if we win? You find out over there. Brother Curtis, it's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong goal. Yeah, that's hard for some people. Sometimes it's easy to see the goals, and as long as you see the goal, as long as you see the results, it's like you can keep going. But when you stop seeing that, that's when sometimes people stop. Noah, bless his heart, I think about him a lot. You know, you imagine working for 120 years and everybody saying no, no, no. What's this rain you speak of? What are you talking about? They didn't know what rain was. They didn't understand that. It didn't make sense to them. But he stayed faithful for 120 years. You know, being faithful is, it's defined for an entire lifetime. It's not a short-term thing. Remember talking to a fellow one time about tithing, the importance of tithing and doing things right. And I talked to him and he said, I tried that for a week and that didn't work. You see, it's kind of funny how things are. How long are we committed? We learn a lot about ourselves in this life. We see a lot of things. You know, I'll say this and we'll read the verses and get into it. But you don't know what you're fully capable of doing until you fail. Think about that. You do not know what your full potential is. You don't know how fast you are. You don't know how strong you are until you fail. And that's when that benchmark is set. I know Brother Garrett, I used to lift weights with him some, and you learn things and you see things. It's not something that you see, that you accomplish overnight. You see some of these folks that can lift big weights or experience big things. That does not happen overnight. You don't walk up to the bar and just do it. I know people start in different places. Some people maybe are further along or further behind. But you just don't automatically go up to that bar and start lifting and think that you're just going to be where you want to be. It takes time. But what we're going to see here, Paul uses some illustrations. He uses the illustration of running, and he uses the illustration of boxing. He does a lot, he talks a lot about or compares a lot to this Christian life with things that you would see in sports or physical activity. It's something that we can associate with. But 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23, it says, and this I do for the gospel's sake. He says it right out of the gate, exactly why he's doing it. He's got his priorities set straight. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, this beautiful weather, a beautiful time of fellowship, God, and just being able to be here, Lord, I just thank you so much for that. I know others that would love to be here and can't, Lord, and we pray for them this morning. I ask that you help them and comfort them, God, and just be with them. But Lord, I pray that we take this time together this morning. We take it seriously. We enjoy this time of fellowship, of learning, of preaching, God, that we can gain and grow from it. Lord, that we can take it and use it in the days to come and take our lives and our purpose, Lord, take it very seriously. Our lives are very precious. The time that you've given to us is very precious, Lord, and it's important that we don't waste it, but we use it wisely, and that we show our appreciation for it, God, and surrender it back to you and give it to you, that it would be what you would have it to be for your glory and for your honor. God, I pray you be with our church. God, I ask that you be with those that are lost, that have not accepted you. God, I pray that you convict their hearts. Help them to see, Lord, what they need to see, to understand, Lord, who you are, who Jesus Christ is, and their true need of you, a true need of a Savior. God, I pray you keep a hedge around our church, our families, keep us protected. Lead us and guide us in your will and in your way, Lord, and we'll give you all the glory and honor for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we start back here in verse number 23. Paul is, what we see here, I'm going to use P's. I've said this before, I don't use a whole lot of letters a lot of times, but it just seemed so easy this morning that I was just going to use different letters to keep our minds focused on what we're talking about. I want us to see Paul's purpose this morning. His purpose, this is what he was working for. Purpose is the object to be reached. This is what we're going to focus on. When you think about starting to do something, I like to have it written down. I like to have something laid out so I can see it, so I can revert back to it and hold on to it, so it's not easily forgotten. I do take a lot of notes when I prepare for messages and for lessons. I write things down because you'd be amazed how easy it is to get up here and look out at people, start preaching, start talking, and completely lose what you're going to say. And while you're looking at me, I'm looking at you, and we never can figure out exactly where I was because you didn't know what I was going to say. And I forgot, so I like having that in front of me. It's the object to be reached. If you write down what you're going to do each week or each day, you have it written down, you know what you're going to follow. You see, that's what Paul is talking about here. He said, I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So I remember what I'm working for. I remember what I'm doing. I'm remembering the why. This is his purpose. This is the object to be reached. This is his goal. A lot of times our temporary goals are things that we set in this life, and if we make them or not, we make them or not. We can kind of take it or leave it. Well, I failed. You know, I think weight loss is probably one of the big things that people look at and focus on. Maybe somebody's preparing for a wedding, and they're saying, I've got to be here by this date. And they work for that, and by that date, then they just kind of let it go. I've been there. I've been through challenges and things that have an end date. And honestly, very rarely, by the end of that date or by that time after that, I'm thinking, whew, I don't have to do this anymore. The challenge is over. I don't have to do that. You know, life is not like that. Life goes on and on and on and on, as long as the Lord allows it to go. And see, that challenge continues until he says stop. So there's really no stopping place. There's no place to get off and say, I'm done with this. You think about this race that we're in. We're all born into this race. We're born into this life. See, that's something that we kind of have to deal with. You know, if I set goals for myself, I want to do this thing. I want to be able to lift this much. I want to be able to run this fast or run this far. I set this. If I make a personal goal, that's just me. But you know, there are goals in our life that affect everybody else. We touch each other. There's things that you do, there's things that I do that we support one another in, that we can help each other in. You know, if I don't meet certain goals or certain things or hold myself to a certain place, then it affects you. Would you not agree? If you saw me out doing things I shouldn't be doing, would that not affect the church? It would. Just like if you do certain things you're not supposed to do, it affects the church. So there's goals, there's things that the Lord puts in His Word that we're supposed to do. Paul is saying here, his purpose for the gospel is a lifelong thing. It's not something to lose sight of. It's easy to lose sight of personal goals sometimes, little goals. It's easy to lose sight of and say, well, you know, I had a good intention of it. You know, one of my favorites is a joke we have in our family is the when we get together on Sunday to eat, the diet starts on Monday. That's when the diet starts. We'll get through the weekend, we'll start fresh on Monday. Well, then it happens every week, and you kind of never really get where you're wanting to go, Brother Tim. You know, that's kind of how it is. You have to kind of be dedicated to it. But his purpose was to further the gospel and never lose sight of that. Bringing himself into subjection, making sure he is who he's supposed to be for the Lord, and never losing sight of that. You know how hard that is for people sometimes? This life wears and tears on people. This life can be very hard. There's a lot that people face sometimes that you don't even know about. But we see here in verse number 24, it says, "Ye know, or know ye not, that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." So all run. Everybody runs in that race. Everybody's running, but you know not everybody receives the prize. I think that's one of the biggest dissatisfaction or disjustices, if you will, injustice, if you will, that we've done in recent years to not make people feel bad is everybody gets the prize. Amen. I'm not being mean. I know we've joked about that a whole lot, but it's true. It's very true. Oh, honey, you showed up. You get a prize, just like the guy or gal, that girl that worked so hard and won, you get the same thing she does. You get the same thing he does. You don't think that affects people? Enter the workforce. I showed up. That's what it's like. I mean, it affects society. Well, when I was little, everybody got a trophy. It didn't matter if I tried or not. Everybody got a trophy. See, the Bible teaches contrary to that. Not everybody gets the prize. What he's saying here in this life, in this race, what he's using here, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Everybody is running. Now I want to say this here. When you think about a physical race, people are running against each other. When you're talking about spiritual battles or things pertaining to the Lord or things pertaining to spiritual growth or what have you, we're not running against each other. I want you to know that. The battle that we face is spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not flesh and blood. It's not us racing against each other. It's not I'm trying to outdo you and you out trying to do me. It's the devil that is working against us. Now really think about this. Slow down. As I was preparing, I want us to not miss this and see what I'm saying here. You have a spiritual battle going on. And what is the one thing that's in the middle of it? Our flesh. That's how Satan attacks us. It's a spiritual battle, but he knows how weak the flesh is. So that's what he attacks. That's what he comes after. That's how he wants to hold you back. That's how he wants to keep you from obtaining what you want to have. Number one, you saw the purpose. Number two, I want us to see the prize here. "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain." Do you know what a prize is? I love looking up definitions. You learn a whole lot that way. A prize. A prize is a reward. We understand that. But you know what also a prize is? If there's only one, and I win the race, Brother James, and I go up there and take that, you didn't get it. That's the prize. You know what a prize is? A prize is also that which is taken from an enemy in war. So if there's only one and it's for the taking, then only one person can take it. And if our battle, if our fight is against Satan, what does he want? What does he want from you and I? He can't have our salvation. He can't take that. You know what Satan wants more than anything this morning? Because he knows he can't take your salvation. You know what he wants? Brother Dale, you know what he wants? He wants your joy. If he can take your joy as a child of God, what else more could he want? What else more could he want? When you see a child of God, a self-professing Christian looking down and out and in the dumps and has no joy, what better advertisement? He wants your joy. Amen. He said, I'll take that. I'll gladly take it. I'll gladly take it. I want your joy. That's the prize. You see, when you come to church on Sunday morning and you're excited and you're not being held back by what the devil and what the world has put on you and you're praising God, you know what you're doing? You're giving God your joy. But you can't give it to him if Satan's already took it. It's gone. Sorry, I don't have that to give. I don't have it. I'm down and out. I'm beat down. He wants our joy. That's the prize. He can't have our salvation. He can't take that from us. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody's running. But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. I was thinking about how I would train for a race. Used to run some. Sister Amber and I used to run when we was at the PD and trying to get in shape. You know, had no clue about who I would be competing with. Had no idea. We had a 4-mile challenge. It went around close to your neighborhood, where Brother Mike lives, kind of around that area there. So that was one of the first or second, maybe it was the second thing I ran in. And you know what? I showed up, Brother Norm. You know, I showed up, and there was people from the high school. I think it was a cross-country team. They were running around the parking lot for fun before the race. I'm like, I'm in the wrong place. I was just hoping I wouldn't get hurt. It was early that morning. It's kind of cold. You got a free pair of socks for running. I was excited about that. So I show up and there's people and they got their little shorts on and their tags on and they're out running around the parking lot jogging while they're standing there talking to you, jogging while they're talking. I'm like, man, you better save that for the race. So that's what they do all the time. They're used to it. I thought, my goodness. So we start the race and we're going around and going on and running and everything. And all the people that started out, they kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Amber stayed. I mean, she and I ran together. There's a guy behind us. I think he felt sorry for us. Or maybe he was making sure nobody's left behind. Because later on in the race, he kind of took off and left too. But he hung out with us for a while. The thing about it is, in this race, you don't know the fastest one. You don't know. You have to train. You have to prepare with everything you have. Because you don't know what you're up against. I had no clue. The first time going there, now I had no really desire to win it. I just wanted to complete it. Thank the Lord I did, finally. I got back, Sister Jan. I wanted to know what the results were. I think a couple of them read it twice and still beat me. I'm not kidding. But man, they're good, you know. But see, in life, you don't know what the competition is like. And what I mean by that, you don't know what you're going to face before the end of the day is up. You don't know. But you have to be prepared, or we should be prepared some way. The Lord doesn't just put us out and just say, hey, just figure it out and do the best you can with what you got. He says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a written plan here. If you will follow it, it will help you. It's a goal. It's a way to do something. It's a form. Dad always said, plan your work and work your plan. You don't know if you're on track if you're not. If you don't have a pace set, you don't know where you're at. Just kind of blindly out here doing things if we don't have something pre-planned. I thought a lot about our young people talking about starting getting out, getting married and moving out or whatever their life, the way their life path is starting out. I tell you, don't get out of church. That's the worst thing you can do. I don't know how many statistics are saying now. You see it a lot, and a lot of statistics saying young Christians, young people getting out of church and just not coming back. I want to say how much I appreciate our young people here this morning. You do not know what you mean to me. Young families, bringing your children to church, you don't know what that means to me. I've heard of a lot of different places, talked to different missionaries and different pastors and hear of things where churches are literally dying out because the young people are not coming back. There's nobody to carry on. Our young people, our heritage, we got to take care of them with everything we have in them. Parents, we got to show them the importance of being here. I know I've said that a whole lot, but that's been on my mind a whole lot. That's on my heart a whole lot, the importance of being in church. I think sometimes people get to a point they think they can figure this thing out on their own. I can't. I'll tell you that right now. Outside of God's provision, protection, I don't have it figured out. I know that doesn't work. Being out of God's will, being out of God's house, I can tell you that won't work. But staying close to Him and staying in, we're talking about this race. Only one gets the prize. He's saying, so run that you may obtain. Stay focused in it. You're going to have to train. You're going to have to be prepared. And I like verse 25. It goes in a little bit deeper here. There's a lot in verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. This is placement. Somebody that's wanting to win this race. This talks about somebody that cares. This talks about somebody that's invested. And every man that striveth. Strive, that means to labor hard. To work hard. You think about maybe some of the goals that you've set before, maybe weight loss, and you've really committed to it. Would you say you worked really hard for it? Sometimes money is the goal. Money's a motivator. Money's the goal. You think about your life. Maybe you've retired now or up close to retirement. When you look back on your life and you think about saving money, preparing for the future, would you say you worked hard? I think a lot of people say, you know, I worked hard and I saved that up. Not being superficial about it, but just saying, you know, I worked really hard for that money that I've put back to save that money. And every man that striveth, again, labor hard. You think about the work you do each day, each week. Now I want to ask yourself this question. Have you ever labored hard for the Lord? Have you ever labored hard for Him? The work of the Lord, even in Timothy, it talks about it. The bishop who chooses to be a pastor, to be a bishop, chooses the good work. Christian work is labor. It's work. Have you ever strove hard for the Lord? Or is that kind of one of those things that just kind of happens week after week? I kind of just get in a little bit, and sometimes I get out a little bit. Sometimes I run hot, sometimes I run cold. But you're talking about a lifelong commitment. It's in this race that he's talking about. He's saying here, and every man that striveth for the mastery, another thing there, that means superiority in competition. I call that the want to. This only matters to somebody who wants to win. There's a lot of people that are not competitive. If I win, fine. If I don't, fine. I like to win. I'll just be honest with you. I love to win. I'd probably try to beat any one of you at some, whatever it was we were going to do. It's all right to laugh there. It's fun. I'll tell you a funny story. I'll tell you how it is. Josh, growing up, he loved video games. He saw Daddy playing that years ago. Used to play, don't have time to play anymore, and that's absolutely fine. But he used to play and he wanted to play. We got him a Leapfrog. A younger person video game, so he didn't want that. He wanted one like Daddy's. So what I would do to satisfy him is I'd give him a controller while I'm playing, and it was turned off. He thought he was playing. And so he'd sit there like he was playing. He loved it. Finally, he got old enough to play. Love playing Madden. Love playing football. Love playing basketball. Madden come out with a game every year. Love that. So finally me and him start playing. I'd start wearing him out. Man, it was fun. No mercy. No mercy. We'd play and he'd start crying. What Brandy sitting back there, she's smiling. She's like, honey, you're going to have to let him win. I was like, no, we don't have to let him win. I play to win. And then it got to the point I'd whip up on him some, and then I'd switch controller. Here, Josh, I'll let you play me. I'll let you be me for a while, because then he could see his high score. His score is higher than mine. Now I'd run the score up him again on that side. He didn't like that, Brother Curse. He didn't like it. He'd get mad. He'd cry. He didn't like that. I play to win. I play to win, son. You have to practice and get better. That's life. One day you can be good like Daddy, right? Placement only matters to those who want to win. Now let's go back to what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about an earthly race. He's using that as symbolism. What did Paul want to win? When Paul felt down and out, what did he think about? All those souls. All those people. Again, it was for the gospel's sake. If I go out here and I don't strive and I don't try, not that it depended on him. He knew who he was working for, and that was the Lord. See, he was following the Lord. You think about what the Lord did for us, how what was on his mind. Paul took that serious. Paul was a very zealous person. Paul liked to win. If Paul thought he was right, he would let you know. Because you remember how Saul was. Paul was just as zealous as Saul, but Saul was going in the wrong direction. I'll say this, before you put the pedal to the metal, make sure you're going in the right direction. Because I've been on the wrong side of that too, thinking I was right. I'm the type, really, if I make a decision, I learn, stand on that decision. Make sure you're going in the right direction before you stand on a decision. Make sure you use godly counsel before you do that. But we see the type of person that Paul was. He was one that wanted to be superior in competition. He learned that his competition wasn't with other people, but it was with his own flesh. That's the competition we face with most. What we deal with in our flesh, bringing that into subjection. Now, I find this very interesting here. If you think about how important this is in verse 25, it's so important. And you know, there's five crowns that the child of God can earn, can be rewarded. And this is one of them. If you think of five things in the whole Bible that the Lord says, I will give you a reward if you are faithful in this, that's how important it is to him. He is giving the definition here. He's giving the importance of this. Again, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Temperate. That means not marked with passion, cool, calm. I'm going to use the letter P again, paced. I remember one time in football practice, I wanted to get noticed by the coach. We had to do that two warm-up laps around the field before practice to get warmed up. And I thought, you know what? I think Dad had mentioned, get out there and get with it so the coach will notice you. I'm like, I'll do that. So that night I was feeling good. I laced up and that evening got out. And I was running out in front of everybody. I was lineman, kicker, linebacker, big guy on the team. And I was out running the running backs. I'm like, yeah, come on. Come on. And after that, I was winded. And then we had to go to practice. And then the real fun started. You know? I didn't pace myself. I wanted to get out ahead and run it just a full barrel the whole time. You know, we can do that in life and you can burn out. I've seen that happen. I've seen people work and mean well and get out and try to do things and get out ahead and run and run and run and not pace themselves. It can really cost the person. It's important that we be paced. And what a lesson that Paul had to learn here. Again, being a zealous person that he was. Not marked with passion. He was cool and calm. He was paced. He had his head in the game. That's very important. I've played sports enough, and I used to enjoy it. I don't play anymore, but I used to love playing basketball. Again, Brother Mike and the professors at lunchtime, different people to quit, I'd love to do that. If it was my buddies, the first thing I'd try to do to them is talk a little junk to them. I love doing that with my friends. It was fun. Brother Mike, I mean, you know, I would. Because you start talking all this, and they're focusing. You see they're trying to focus on what they're doing. They're trying to keep their head in the game. But if you start talking that, then you get in their head, then you take them out of their game. And you know the devil knows how to do that better than anybody. He'll work on you in ways that you'd never imagine. Little things. Little, teeny, tiny things. I've learned that probably being a pastor more than anything else. See somebody out. Maybe they didn't see. You know, you can look at a windshield and it'd be a glare and you not see somebody on the other side. But they can see you clearly. You can drive down the road, hey, wave real big, and they just drive. What's wrong? Well, honestly, they didn't see you. But see, in your mind, why are they mad at me? And you'll think about that. You'll dwell on that. Use that as a small example, just little teeny tiny things like that to try to get you away from where the Lord wants you to be. If the devil can use your mind and get in your mind, he'll try to steer you in so many different ways. He's saying being temperate. Keep your mind in the game. Keep your eye on the prize, if you will. Not marked with passion, not making a knee-jerk decision. I've seen that a lot. Different things in life, working in law enforcement, different things. It's like all this pressure, all this pressure. You've got to make a decision now. Do something. Then you do something. You got to have a plan. You got to be paced. That's what the Lord is teaching us here. That's what Paul is telling us, but the Lord is teaching us in his word here. Verse number 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul wasn't uncertain, he was positive. That means certain, that means absolute. And who he was standing for, it was all for him. Once he turned to the Lord, it was all for him. That's all that mattered after that point. Paul was all in. And he was positive that it was going to be worth it. It is so easy, and I'll say this again, it is so easy to move forward positively when everybody sees the goal in sight, when the goal is right here. That is so easy. It doesn't take faith to do that. If I laid a $100 bill on the table here and you saw it, and I said, all you have to do is come and get it, and you had your eye on it that entire time, and you run up there, take it, there's no faith in that. There's no challenge in that. You know how challenging it is to be a corruptible person in this flesh and just have to trust the Lord for your entire life that on the end it's going to be worth it? You know how hard that is? A lot of people don't think it's worth it. A lot of people don't get that far. A lot of people don't know. They don't make it that far to find out. A lot of times people will fall out. Flesh will call them to fall out, cause them to fall out. Paul is saying here, I therefore so run. I'm running this race so certainly, so fight I. He took it that far. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight this flesh and I'm going to win it for the Lord. I'm not going to let this keep me, cause me to be a hindrance to the gospel. I'm not going to let the devil rob my joy. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He had a purpose. Again, a purpose. Everything we do as a child of God should have a purpose. Years ago, good friend, hadn't seen him in some time. Brandy and I used to hang out with him sometimes. He liked to play pool. We'd go to the family billiards over in Fosco. Like to play pool. Billy Grimes. Hadn't talked to him in a long time. Billy, he'd like to talk junk. We played basketball together. We'd play pool together and do different things like that. And I'd go up to hit, and he'd say, oh, man, you just hitting and hoping. You just hitting and hoping. And I thought, man, that's interesting. Because, you know, there is an order to that. There's a lot of geometry in that. I know we're talking about pool, but I'm just saying this. There's angles to it. There's a method to it. And people that are good at it know how to do it. They can look at that table. They can surmise where they're at, know what their goal is, and they can work that way through that table. Where I'd go up there and say, well, I think I can get that one in, so I'm hitting and hoping, beating at the air, taking blind swings. That's what the child of God looks like when they're outside the will of God trying to fight this battle. Just swinging at the air. When there actually is a method to this. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth at the air. He said, I have a purpose. God has laid a purpose out in front of me. Verse number 27, closing soon here, says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. See, that's where the battle most often lies. In these fleshly bodies. If you want to be a testimony to somebody, you're going to have to protect that body. You're going to have to protect yourself. The things we say, the places we go, the things we see, the things we do, all of that matters. Every single bit of that matters. And I know I've preached on it recently and talked about it recently, but I'm seeing it. And you say, why are you thinking people are checking out? Why do you say that? If you saw me out in town somewhere drinking a beer, would you think any different of me? Be honest, would you? Why? How can he do that? You think about it like that. If I see somebody else, what am I to think? Why is that person checking? What has changed? If you think about how important your testimony is, that's the number one witnessing tool you have to a lost world. Paul was saying here, he knew his flesh would give him a fit. He knew he was subject to it, just like anybody else. He didn't pedestal himself. He said, look, I can throw this away like anybody else can. Outside of God's protection, I can throw it all away. How does a child of God get to a place where they feel their testimony doesn't matter anymore? Everybody else is doing it. I'm talking about older people. I'm not talking about our kids. I want to say this. I thought about this a lot, Brother Bill, about our younger kids. I've seen a lot of times older people, older preachers run our kids down. Our kids are young. I'm not giving them credit to do anything wrong, but I'm telling you, it's one thing to make a mistake when you're young and dumb. It's another thing to make a mistake when you're old and you know better. Think about that. I see older generations sometimes downgrade the newer generations coming on and saying, we're in a mess, look at this younger generation. Who produced the younger generation? We did. That's our problem. You know, when you look at things, you think about things like that. Paul was keeping everything in line here. He is saying, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I'm going to keep this flesh under subjection because I know that's what's going to cause problems. If people don't see me practicing what I preach, they're not going to listen to what I preach. It's not worth it anymore. It won't be worth anything. If I go against what I'm preaching, it won't be worth anything. Paul, he stayed focused on the goal and he practiced what he preached. I want to tell you this morning to be prepared. And I want you to protect your testimony. That's the most valuable thing you've got outside of your salvation. That's the most valuable tool you have is your testimony. I'll close with this morning. We're getting to the end here. I'll close with this. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 4:8. You don't have to turn there, but I gave you the first part of that verse for a purpose. 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. That's the verse I would use on the day, Brother Garrett, I didn't want to go to the gym. This ain't going to go today. But look what it says. Look what the rest of the verse says. It puts it into perspective. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Everything. Being a Christian. Protecting your testimony. Your life goals. Having promise of the life that is now or now is, and that of which is to come. It's talking about eternity. Eternal goals. I know it's easy to have short goals. Maybe stick to them or not. When you're talking about defending the gospel, as Paul's saying here, verse 23 again, it says, and this do I for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. That was his goal, to stay focused for the Lord and not get out of sight of that. And just to stay true to what he'd have us to do. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're going through a hard time, if you think about checking out and saying, is it worth it? The reason I say that, people have checked out. I've seen it and you've seen it. I'm not being negative this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. That our life goals line up with the goals of the Lord. If I could go back, there's a lot of things I could have probably sidestepped had I put him first. I want to say this. As I was preparing, been preaching now for probably around 12 years, I believe, and it was probably around that time that I really got serious about the things of the Lord, Brother Bill. I was thinking about it. I was looking back on my life, and I was thinking, when did I really try to get serious for the Lord? And I was 34 years old. And I think about our young people. What would it be if our young people could stay faithful, could learn, stay engaged in the church, and stay focused on the things of God and not wait until 34, 40, 50 years of age before getting in there for the Lord or trying to do something for the Lord? You don't have to get out in the world. You don't have to do those things. You can stay in there now. You don't have to get out. I just wanted to mention that this morning. If you will, stand with me as the ladies to come.